Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome back to And the Podcast Will Rock. Today we are doing our OU812 official rankings as tabulated by our patrons and special guests. And now we come to song number 5. The fifth best track on the album, according to all of our polls, completely tabulated. Anybody want to throw it a guess? I guarantee you're probably wrong.
Probably Black and Blue. But it's Mine All Mine.
Mine All Mine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah.
A lot of votes for Mine All Mine. Yeah. How about this one?
Oh,
when it's love, sad. Number 5.
You have to be fucking kidding me.
136 points.
Probably.
Its highest ranking, number 1. 3 people ranked it as the best song on OU812. Aww. 2 people said it was the 9th song off of OU812. Maybe
you're
the best
shame.
Power ballad I know Kevin Brown will say
that
ever.
Like
I'll say
that,
at least of the
We've
80s.
Got Hall and Oates.
Oh, Hall and Oates. Come on. No. Come on. When It's Love, number 5. Egregious. I tell you, I had this one on my ballot. Was number 3. Number 3 for me. Scott Everett, why don't you kick us off here? This was your number 1 song on OU812.
Yeah, it was. Charles probably pissed me off enough all week with his shitting on it all week that it made me listen to it all week. And I love this song. I still love this song. If you had a girlfriend in 1988, this was the song. This was my band. This was everything. Great song, great video. The harmonies are fantastic. I heard all the it's cheesy and all that bullshit, but I think for a rock song, rock ballad, it's as good as it gets. One of my favorite songs they actually do.
Kevin Brown, I know you agree. You had this number 2.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I wrote my manifesto in the Discord. I just think it's, if you want to sort of give a clinic in how to write this type of song in this era, I don't know how you do it better. And like I said, the intro, the keyboards in the intro is fantastic. I don't know how you downvote this. Like, if you don't like schmaltzy songs, fair enough, I get that. But if you're sort of evaluating it as this type of song, it's fucking perfect. Brilliant.
Eric Senich, I'm guessing you agree. You had this ranked number two as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You know what's weird about this is I love this is a song that I heard that summer of 88 that got me hooked. But then I got sick of it, burned out on it, and for some reason I've just grown a whole new appreciation for it all over again, and I absolutely love it. I've never had that happen before, but with this song that's happened. Epic power ballad among the best of the decade, and it's not contrived, it's just something that came naturally. Ed and Al had the music, they played it for him in the limo as it picked him up from the airport and back to 5150 Studios. Sammy had the main hook already done. I mean, it's just instant magic among Van Halen's best harmonies.
Oh yes.
And that epic ending is like Kevin said, it's like perfectly crafted.
Great guitar solo too. Just fits the song perfect. Ryan Powell.
The Clapton-esque solo.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Ryan Powell had this number one.
Yeah, no, I don't see how you can rank this one any lower. This is just their hit from this, and it deserved to be. And great timing, because this solo, it just is a great use of space. There's pauses, and frankly, I grew up on this song with the Van Halen Greatest Hits video, Volume 1. So I watched this on the video as my introduction to it, and so everything, like he shakes his hair while he's pausing on the guitar solo, and I just see all that stuff, or the face, like the smiley face, you know, that Sammy does, and it. I agree completely, Eric. It's the huge ending with like where they take the chords and it's all sung. They were giving crap about that being cheesy. That's just so epic, and it just keeps building. They go four on the floor to keep building the drama of it. Just a great. This is the cigarette lighter, you know, arena rock ballad. It's perfect, and it's by far the number one on the album.
All right, Scott Monroe, you had a third.
Yeah, I had a third. It's for sure my favorite Van Halen ballad. I echo everything Ryan just said. I also, that was my introduction to it as well, from the Van Halen Best of video cassette there. We've been talking about Van Halen cheese lately. I eat it up. give it to me. Give it
no
to me.
No such thing as too much Van Halen cheese, absolutely.
No.
Michael Griffith, you had this one number five.
I did. Look, bands compete with each other. You know, I think they do. And I think most of these 80s ballads just suck. We all know that. We never listen to them really again. And they go, you know what, we'll make one. And they made this, and it's better than everybody's by a lot. And I think they knew that. And then I just love, I don't know if there's, maybe there is, but I don't know if there's another Van Halen song where they go back and forth with the harmonies, where Sammy asks the question and the harmonies give the answer. I love that. I think that is so great, kind of a unique thing that they do in this song.
Right now, for example, that call and response.
Yep.
Yeah, call and response. You could maybe argue, well, no, not really. Bad example I was going to use, so never mind.
We're going to come to you, Kamire. We're going to go to the Chazitar first. He had this ranked number one, and he said this is his most favorite song of all time. Chaz, explain yourself.
The fuck? It was, I think I had this at nine, right? Or eight. It was at eight.
You had this at eight, yes.
Yeah. Na, 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 na. I think someone said it best on the chat last time. It's
Journey, yeah,
you know,
Jeff
Journey.
Brewer, yeah.
I looked at Journey for songs like this. Okay, it was fine. Like I said, if I'm standing around and someone else got Light FM on and this comes on, I'd be like, okay, cool. It's Van Halen. All right, next, you know, and then you hear someone else in the lighter genre. So for me, the best of Van Halen light. I'm glad the band had a hit. You know, I could not in good faith downvote it because it is such a big song in the canon, you know, of, you know, the overall band and in their career. Like I said, musically, there were merits there. I just, you know, the lyrics and the vocal performance in places got just, you know, for me, the thumbs down.
Heath McCoy, why do you hate love? You had this at number six.
It's like they gone from Jack Daniels to lime shandies, man. It's I said it's Van Halen for soccer moms, and I really do think it's catchy. It's very catchy, which is why I put it a higher up than I thought I would, actually. And it's shame because the there's so much that's interesting about it. Like the arrangement is super interesting. I like what Ed's doing. I love what Al's doing on it. But Sammy, I think he ruins it. It's way too sappy. It's a power ballad where the sap overwhelms the power by far. It is a lot like Journey, and I like Journey, but I want Journey to be Journey. I don't want Van Halen to be Journey. And I cringe at this one. Yeah.
Michael Triplett, you had this sixth, I believe.
Yeah, if I was a nostalgia person, it might be ranked higher, but the ones above it just rock that much more. I mean, I don't have much more to add that everybody else did. I mean, it's all right there. It's a great power ballad, but I want to hear something that's rocking. I'm not a nostalgia person. When I was playing OU812 leading up to this, actually playing some of the live albums and some of the bootleg stuff I have access to or had access to better. But yeah.
All right. Mark Meyer.
I think it's fucking stock. Which part of that is unclear to you?
Do you want to reveal your ranking here?
This was absolutely my number one. You all knew this.
You knew this was going to be number one. Loves love.
This is the damn song. This is the, not only is it the gold standard of power ballad, this is also, I think, one of Sammy Hagar's best. And I'm not just talking about from the Van Halen era. I'm just talking about Sammy Hagar himself. I think this is just a phenomenal song. I loved it when I was a kid, even when it wasn't cool to like power ballads anymore because it wasn't edgy enough. The older I got and the more musical I developed in my own personal life, I love it even more for that because there's so much to appreciate vocally. Musically, though, I mean, everything Kevin says is like, it's just a brilliant arrangement, and it's epic. Everybody has added some really good points to it. And my last note is, soccer moms need to rock out too, Heath. God.
It's a boner song.
Listen to Bon Jovi
then. We figured that out. We figured out it was about his boner. Come on.
But you're not as confused as him, are you? I mean, it's not just John, he's confused as Nigel.
Right, let's go to the chat. Back to YouTube. Marvin said, this is three for me. I'm hoping I have to go back quite a bit. Hopefully he meant this song, number three. Jeff Brewer says, probably. Best power ballad on the album, maybe. Tom Armbruster had it sixth. Thinks it's guilty of the overplaying exhaustion. That could be true. The Spinning the Wheel podcast, welcome to the show here, guys. Finally live. This is number five on their list. Marvin points out that this was the closer of the 04 tour. Played quite a bit. And look at that. Love you, Corey. I love the Spinning the Wheel podcast. Thank you very much, sir. Yeah. And thanks for joining us. Glad you could actually join us on the live show here. We're coming up to track number four.
I just want to quickly, though, Corey, before we finish this, there was just one
your show.
Just settle down there. We're ahead. We're good. We're good for time. It's one thing about this song, too, is that some songs feel like they have to be worked really hard on. And some songs feel like they come really effortlessly. And this song just feels like it flowed out of all of them because the transitions between all the sections in this song are just remarkable. There's not a single thing where it feels clunky or awkward. It's incredible. Like, I think just from a, like you said, Mark, from a composition arrangement perspective, again, it's just a masterclass in how to write a pop song.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of time and energy went into it. And maybe there wasn't a lot of time and energy. This is just, as you say, it just poured out of them. If that's the case, then that just speaks higher about their musicianship and ability, which just make me appreciate the song even more.
All right. Show of hands. Who likes When It's Love better than Why Can't This Be Love? Anyone?
And I do love, I hate that you made me choose, but yeah.
Ryan's kind of,
I got to get that lyrics going through my head.
Why Can't This Be Love? Wow. Great.
All right. No, there, a couple disagreed.
Great.
That's a great tune.
Heath has just been hurt his life. He just hates any love song. Go listen to some fucking Anthrax or something. I don't know.
I got to put Why Can't like a hair above When
really?
It's Love.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Right?
More
erroneous.
It's one of the long gray ones. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Long gray hairs. Chaz's head.
The ones we don't talk about.
Chaz's head hanging down and to the left again.
It's your sad boy avatar, you know, you got the emo glasses and the hood, and you got the head hanging. your shoegaze avatar.
This is
avatar
a pretty damn accurate representation.
Shoegazers.
Your head's going to fall looks like right off.
They paid a lot of money for this.
He looks like he's listening to not Rush, but the Smiths, like a lot.
I think that the problem may have been that there was a Stone Age tournament on the stage.
Mid-90s British invasion bands.
By a dwarf.
Picture
bowling ball head.
Object away. Yeah.
He's actually kind of dressed like Justin Bieber, so I'm not sure he's in the right chat.
Oh, Lord. All right.
I love that, Eric. Down and to the left.
We're talking about when it's love, and Chaz over there, his avatar is just like, love will tear us apart again.
All right. I got to get this back on track. I got to ask the question, everybody.
How much more black could this be? And the answer is none. None's none more black.
Oh, the answer is none more black. The answer is 147 times. Our fourth ranked song was played 147 times. Anybody have any ideas? What finished number four? 147
probably
times
black and blue.
I'll say mine all mine.
Mine all mine.
Yeah.
A couple of votes for mine all mine. One vote for
black. Are we talking all together, Corey, or on that?
Is it around finish?
Is it what?
Finish what you started.
Oh, let's find out.
Corey, is that number, though, from the tour from 88 or overall?
Overall.
Okay.
Mine,
oh, mine, oh mine.
All mine.
Wow.
Finished number four on our all-time rankings here. Total points, quite a few, 150. And the difference between 100 between fourth and second is 4 points. Wow. So the jumping back and forth all day as I was getting the votes in. It ranked first on, what do we got there, 5 ballots? I'm having a hard time seeing. I'm getting old and I'm getting drunk. Looks like 5. Ninth, it ranked once. Ninth on somebody's ballot.
Wow.
Very low for somebody. Mine, all mine. I kind of thought this one would be higher. It finished on quite a few ballots. Sean Geek, Sean McGinnity ranked this one number one. Our good friend Josh Caldwell ranked this one number one. Tom Armbruster ranked this one number one. And one Eric Senich also ranked this one number one. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right behind Jumpin' Dreams. Best keyboard songs from Eddie. The synth riff is, it's electric, and Eddie tears it up on the solo. And Don Landee told Greg Renoff that Sammy worked really hard on that song, and it shows vocally and lyrically. He turned the lights out and let, he literally turned the lights out and let Sammy do his thing, and then he said afterwards he gave him a hug. It's like, yes. I think the song is just, I love it as an, I think they, did they open with it on Balance? No.
It was the beginning of the drum solo.
Okay, yeah, and they had the surfer, which is perfect. Yeah.
Scott Everett, I think you had this one fifth, was it?
Yeah, probably too low. I love this song. We actually use this as a basketball team highlight video music. Sammy's best lyric I think he's ever written with Van Halen. I think his lyrics are spot on. The synth is great. The lyrics are great. Eddie's great. The band's great. I mean, it's just a great song. Again, we said how weak OU812 is, and this one's fifth or whatever. So, great song.
The Chazitar has dreadlocks now. You had this one ranked sixth, my friend. Tell us about it.
Oh, the energy again, the excitement. Where the hell do you put it, man? This one
those
makes you want to jump out of your seat. Makes you want to do weird shit to your head.
Where those are inappropriate cornrows.
Inappropriate cornrows.
You're totally getting kicked off YouTube for this one.
Oh, man.
Put it up on Google Drive. They're going to rip it.
Flag, so number,
man. Oh, no, man, I couldn't do a samurai. I was trying to do a samurai.
That's not. Oh, it's like a corn out. It's like a corn video.
Keith McCoy. That's nice.
I love looking out, man. I love trying Kevin to play it. And I do say trying to play it. This is one I've really never successfully been able to play around other people. So,
Keith McCoy, you had this one seventh. What do you think?
Stroking out, man.
Chaz from Seattle.
I'm going to be doing something with Faith No More in a couple weeks.
Oh, God, it's like herding cats. Keith McCoy, help us get back on track. Mine, all mine. Tell us about it.
Talking to me?
Yes. You're the only Heath on the call, my friend. Go ahead.
Is that a ponytail, too? Is it in a ponytail?
Eric, help me out here, buddy.
You like that? Because I was thinking that might pull the head back so it's not leaning like this.
Yeah, I can't. Let's see.
So of all the podcasters to fucking take us back off the rails, it's Senich. Jeez. Heath McCoy, take it away.
This is a first in deep dive podcast in history.
Sorry, Professor Corey, the class is getting out of control.
Oh, my God.
I brought my pencil.
Well, you can shove it up your ass. We're going to Heath McCoy talking about Mine All Mine.
How do I follow that? Okay.
Yeah, good fucking luck.
A faux hawk? You have to have a faux hawk, Heath.
I want to like this more. I want to like Mine All Mine more because I ranked it at number 7, and I ranked it below When It's Love because When It's Love's a lot catchier. You know what I think of When It's Love? It's a really interesting arrangement. I love that they're stretching, they're challenging themselves. It's almost prog rocky what they're going for. I love what Alex is playing. I love the synth on it. But it's just something. And Sam's lyrics, he's reaching, and they're good lyrics. They're solid lyrics, but they're so earnest. And earnest Sam doesn't work for me. It's almost like he's trying to be Bono or something like that, and it's like Bono light, or it doesn't work for me, the earnestness of these lyrics, despite that they're good and how hard he's trying. And I just there's something about it. There's so much to like about this song, but there's something about it that just never connected with me. I don't return to it. I don't, when it's on, like I never go, when I go to one OUA 1-2, I never listen to it. I don't know why, but that's my thoughts about that.
All right. Well, Ryan Powell, you had this number 2. Tell us about it.
I mean, pretty much I agree with almost everything that Heath said. I mean, there's a lot really that grabs you with the song. There's structurally, it's great. That the synth has a great edge to it. It really propels it forward. The lyrics, I love the lyrics. These are a great quotable high school lyrics for me to make me feel like I was really deep by quoting them, passing them off as my own like poetry work in English class and whatever. It always worked. It's a great song. Forever, it'll be seared in my head as I expect Alex to just go off on his drum solo following this, because that was my first exposure is in that Balance tour pay-per-view.
Didn't they do it on the OU Women 2 tour as well, right? I know in Japan that was...
I don't know. I wanted to say that there's something else that kicked it off there, because I thought it was strange that they used an OU 812 song to kick off the drum solo on the Balance tour, and I thought that it was something else in OU 812, but I could be wrong. But yeah, it's just...
do we have a research department, Corey? Can we?
Well,
check?
I tell you, from the set list I'm looking at here, Mine All Mine did lead song into the drum solo on the OU 812 tour. It came in at number 8.
Say it again? It did?
It did, yeah. It led into the drum solo in 88, so...
All right. Yeah, because that Japan show, I remember hearing it from the Japan show, having it lead into it. Yep.
But I'm no Van Halen expert.
You're the research department.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
I have one job.
That's right.
Scott Monroe, you have one job right now, and that's to tell us about Mine All Mine. You had this one ranked a little bit lower on your rankings.
Yeah, number 6. It was one of the middle section songs for me, so it was pretty tough deciding, but I dig it. I really love the interplay that's happening between the synth and the guitar and the drums. It just really establishes this great rhythm that just propels you forward. They're just so in sync the whole time. Have to agree on Sammy's lyrics. It's some of his best, I think. Probably comparable in a way to some of the more darker lyrics he has on Balance. It's a step above. The only thing I've never been really that crazy about is the kind of doubling that I think it's doubling that happens when he says, "In All Mine." I kind of wish maybe they brought out harmonies a little bit more in that section. But we do get harmonies in other parts with the oohs and stuff. I like it. The outro is maybe a little long, could have cut a little bit there. But for me, it's a real solid middle section song.
It is a solid middle section. For me, I put this at my number 8. I'm now I'm quite sure I was in some weird mood when I was ranking these things, because that doesn't, having it at number eight doesn't mean Mine All Mine, I think, is a stupid song. On the contrary, I think it's great. I guess just the seven that came before it spoke to me in a different and a little bit better way. But that isn't to say that Mine All Mine should be looked at lightly or should be taken as just a throwaway dumb track. Like, no, there's a lot happening here. There's a lot of good stuff, as mentioned by all of you. So, but yeah, for whatever reason, that's where this one landed for me. Michael Griffith, where did it end up for you?
So it's number three. I love this song. And it's funny, I love watching the clips from Monsters of Rock, and they played this song, and it, you know, I think it held up. The audience seemed to respond to it. I agree with Scott Everett. I think it's Sam's best lyrics. And I kind of listened to 5150 again, the song 5150 and Crossing Over, which I always thought were the best. This is good. It's right there. I mean, if it's one, two, or three, it's right there on Sam's best lyrics. And yeah, it's a good song. And the remaster version sounds so much better. I mean, like, if there's one song on OE812 that benefited from the remasters, it's this song. I mean, it sounds great on it. Mm.
Hard to argue, but Kevin Brown, you want to try?
No, I mean, I had number six, but I think someone else has said too, like my 3, 4, 5, 6 mm-hmm. on any given day could have been interchangeable. I mean, I think it's a great opener. I think it's exactly the right song to open the record. And I love that major key drop on the turnaround in the middle, mm-hmm. where we drop down in Augusta side stick and it goes major key and there's the harmonies. It's just a really nice sort of take you out of the heat of it for a little while before you go back in. It's a great little song. Yeah, I really like it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Cornrows Chazitar. How do you feel about Mine All Mine?
Oh, Mine All Mine. Like I was saying, man, the energy, the excitement in this song, you know, this is one where the keys, I don't mind what they're doing with it. This came in at number six for me, but easily, you know, it's a sliding scale on this top end here. Any given day, I've heard live versions of this that are just really powerful, as happens with a lot of the synth songs that I don't necessarily like on the record. They sound a lot better live when Eddie's playing more of the guitar. So, you know, I really do. There were so many songs in this era that were strong, and it's like, you know, again, just as a band, they were just so tight. They knew each other so well. And this is the whole band as a unit. And that, you know, that's Alex, Mikey, and Eddie, right? And I'm talking very particularly about, you know, the music they're making. And it's kind of a shame that they didn't let Sammy play more guitar on records with them. You know, I think that was kind of a missed opportunity along the way. Because I think that, you know, I've heard a couple things live where Sammy was playing along with them and just like, damn, you know, that was just another dimension. And I think this is one of those records that, you know, that kind of contribution could have just taken it that much higher. Like, what's the other song we were talking about? With, you know, the blood dripping down on the guitar and that whole heavy metal kind of vibe, right, from that era of Sammy's, you know, solo career, you know, when he was putting out those records, like heavy, you know, the heavy metal soundtrack and mm-hmm. that other era, and they were going into VOA and all that. Just totally, you know, again, it's indicative of the best of this era of the band, you know, and that's coming from a Dave guy, man. I mean, this is really when this version of the band was nailing it.
Well, we know you're a Dave guy. We know.
Yeah.
but you know, well said. Who do we miss? Who else has something to say about Mine All Mine?
I had a number two. The tempo just doesn't stop. It's just a great song. I love it. It's at number two. It was a toss up between what my number one was and Mine All Mine, and just love this track.
Fair enough. Yeah. So I'm having a sort of buyer's remorse in a sense, because I had this one so low and it was like, I don't feel like it should be mine. Yeah. It was number eight for me. So it's like, ugh. You had it at nine.
You had it at nine. I had it at eight.
And I have it at eight now, because remember, I changed the list.
No, I'm going to go with buy list and I'm going to assume that I'm right. So you're nine, fucker.
But I told you to put Apolitical Blues at nine.
You told me to put it at eight. You said put Apolitical Blues at eight.
He said like nine earlier.
Finding some votes around the place on the floor.
I'm calling bullshit on this poll.
All right, I'm going to push back on that motherfucker, Kevin Brown, a little bit, who said this is the perfect album opener. I would rather it open with something like Source of Infection. In 1988, this is maybe the perfect album opener, but not like today. Like in terms of the songs
when
on the record.
When was it released, Corey? Can you just remind me what year it was released?
Yeah. Okay. You're such a prick.
You time traveling motherfucker.
I don't want to pick a fight.
Kevin wants to pick a fight. And it's starting to piss me off because I'm going to start telling him what I really think.
Period! Exclamation point!
That's right. Let's go to the YouTube chat. Jeff Brewer, never liked the farting synth at the beginning. Fair
enough. Farting synth.
Wow.
Marvin Fernandez had this at number 2 on his list. Opener for the 93 tour. They actually opened with Mine All Mine. Nicholas Norway had this number 1. So he really likes this one.
Wow.
Spinning the Wheel podcast had this at number 4. Jeff Brewer comments, good solo. Yep. The Be Cool or Be podcast out. Sammy put effort into these lyrics. Just wish the keyboards were a bit lower in the mix and the guitar a bit more crunchier. That's fair. Tom really liked the Allah in the East, Jesus in the West, Christ, what's a man to do refrain from this song. And Brandon Schuler, Mine All Mine is the perfect balance of the varying musical styles on OU812. So there you go. A lot of fans of Mine All Mine on this record. In our official rankings, it's number 4 with 150 points. It's time now to go to number 3.
The top 3.
That's right. What do you think finished number 3? Anybody want to shout out some guesses here?
That would be Black and Blue.
Black and Blue.
Yeah, that's we'll stick with that.
All right. A lot of people picking Black and Blue. Let's see what actually finished number 3.
1, 2.
Oh, one, wow. Two. Oh, that's right.
You ow. Get the fuck out of here.
I can't believe it either, Chaz. Finish what you started.
Yeah, this is rigged. This is
number
rigged. I'm
three.
Telling you.
Hey, Corey, is that my fault?
It might be.
Was that my fault, Corey?
It might be. I tell you, it's not mine. This was my number 1. I'm the one guy who ranked this number 1 on the record. I love Finish What You Started. 152 points.
Scott's got a big smile on his face. Why is Scott smiling so much?
So, Finish What You Started, 2 points ahead of Mine All Mine, 2 points behind the number 2 song. I'm the one who ranked it first. Somebody ranked this as the worst song on OU812, and I don't understand that for the fucking life of me. Tyron Armbruster had it second. I can respect that. Finish What You Started comes in at number 3. Let's go all the way down to that liver puddling son of a bitch, Kevin Brown. You had this one 3, though. That's respectable. Tell us
man,
about
Finish
What You
Started.
Man, I
thought
that
was aimed towards me.
Look, if you keep insisting that I'm from Liverpool, that's how I'm going to fucking talk, and you can be a good fan on the fucking family.
I just love your Liverpool accent. That's why I keep saying that.
That's more brutal, kind of just outside of the door. Yeah, I mean, I had it at 3. So I guess one right for sure, but I think I like that we're getting different looks from Eddie, right? It's that finger picking thing, that little claw pick thing that he does. He's so cool. Really, really good vocal too from Sammy on this. He doesn't need to howl and stretch, but all the little low stuff that he's doing, that's the stuff that I like, that low drawl, because you don't get that usually from Van Halen even, right? Well, maybe Dave Lee, but not from Sammy. So everything about this song, and I think this was when that came onto the show for the first time. I'm pretty sure this is the one that we spun up.
It might have been, yeah. I tell you what.
As a young man, I didn't know what the subject of the song was about, so even better.
It's the best song about blue balls ever written. Kevin Brown, you're in my good books. Michael Triplett, not so much. You had this ranked 10th. You say this is the worst song on OU812. Explain yourself, sir.
Explain myself. All I could say is it's just, I love this album, but this is the track that I listen to the very least. Valerie Bertinelli had a show, and they started playing it on the show. Never watched the show, but they'd have the ads for it, whatever station it was on. And just skip the channel, skip the track. If I was using regular radio, I haven't listened to regular radio in years. Everything's Spotify or off my play or my personal 100 gigs plus MP3s, but just not a fan. And I could see Mark Scal on this one.
Listen to that, picking on the acoustic guitar. That is so good. Mark Meyer, you had this second, my friend. Tell us about it.
I mean, what else can I possibly say that I haven't said about this already? Man, it's just a fun, catchy, slightly different, little off the norm for Van Halen. I mean, and they're good about doing stuff like that, as we continuously point out. But this one, it just, this is one of those songs that I've talked about on the show that give me both the nostalgic feels, because I feel like I heard it a lot on the radio when I was a kid, and then it just, I don't know, it just makes me feel good. This is one of those chill out with your friends outside, you know, you have having a drink or, you know, whatever, and you're just hanging out having fun in the sun, man. That's like, that's what this song reminds me of, like fun in the sun. And Van Halen's really great about giving us some pretty rock and party rock songs, and then they can give us the beauty of the power ballads, and then they can just like, hey man, just go hang out and have fun. We'll give you some chill tunes, but we'll still make it Van Halen style, you know, because that's what we do. And I love all that. That the only reason this isn't my number one is because When It's Love had to be number one. So there you go.
I tell you, if you rank this any lower than fourth, you're a thief of joy. You like kicking puppies.
You hate
and
fun.
Pushing the elderly. Michael Griffith, you come in just under the wire at number four. What are your thoughts on Finish What You Started?
So, I mean, you know, Sammy's playing guitar. It's cool. It's diverse. If you remember back in when this came out, I mean, MTV and everyone was blown away at the diversity. Well, look at Van Halen's country now, and look how they changed their sound, and they can do this and do that. Like, it was a big deal when this came out, and it's a cool video, and the harmonies are just insane. They're so great. And the line does work. I did say it to a girl one time, and it did work.
Oh,
there you go.
Happy ending.
If that's not a number one, I don't know what is. Scott Monroe, whatever you come works. In just under the wire. You're number four. Your thoughts on Finish What You Started.
Yeah, number four. I agree with Mark. It's a vibe. That's really the big appeal to me. It's also kind of in a way like the opposite of a political blues, where they're going outside of their normal sound, but they're making it work. It's got the Van Halen flavor. I can tell it's Eddie playing. Sammy sounds comfortable. So for me, that's like how you do it right. It's definitely a different twangy country kind of sound for them. But you know, instantly it's Van Halen, and it absolutely works.
Absolutely. Ryan Powell, you have this number three. So you're okay. You're not pushing the elderly or kicking puppies. Tell us about Finish What You Started.
I'll say it was razor thin that this didn't end up second. I gave Mine All Mine just the nod, and probably based on the lyrics. And I could argue the other way. This is a great song. I love it. It's a lot of fun. I love the low rhythm guitar that Sammy adds. It just gives a lot of low end to the sound, more so than a song of this style usually deserves. The chicken picking guitar solo. All I see is Eddie in his flannel and cowboy boots and cowboy hat with his foot on the hay bale or whatever. And it's just fun. And like Sammy lowering his sunglasses at the end with the, please, it's ridiculous. It's just fun. It always made me smile. It's just silly. And yeah, this could have easily been number two. I might have even considered it number one, but I couldn't give the nod over the other ones. Really close though.
You've convinced me even more. I'm the only one who's right. I had it number one. All you others are fucking wrong, including Heath McCoy, even though he had this one number two. Tell us about Finish What You Started.
I love it. Everyone's talking about the finger picking Eddie's doing. I love this country flavored Van Halen. Like, they pull it off beautifully. You know who's the unsung hero of this song? Alex Van Halen. I'm a drummer. I try to play this beat.
Yeah, baby.
It's mind boggling. I can't wrap my head around what he's doing ever. It's amazing. And it's just I love Sammy's lyrics. I love Sammy's delivery. It's super fun, super catchy. Easily one of my favorite top five Van Hagar tunes. It's just great, and it's great all through Van Halen's catalog. It's an amazing tune. I love the lore, the blue Sammy's blue balls lore of the song. I think it's a great, it's amazing.
All right, Chaz Zatar, before you change your avatar to have a giant afro, tell us why you ranked this one number two.
Can you feel it? Yeah, well, you know, I'm thinking about it, and my rankings really reveal my bias as a guitar player, because this was number two for me. And, you know, like everyone said, the Nashville sound, it's fun, man. And playing this song is so much fucking fun live, and especially when you got a singer who knows how to improvise lyrics, too, and play around. This is just a fun
goddamn head. Song. He cannot keep it up.
It's not staying up. What do you mean? Look at that. I'm laughing. I'm laughing.
And then there goes. The cornrows are too heavy.
It is. That's it. It's bringing me down. But no, like, you know, people say, I mean, you know, like, this is actually one song, like the Sammy song, I think Dave could actually do. Of all the entire catalog in the era, yeah. If there's one song Dave could do, if he was a gentleman, it's this one. I really think he could pull that off. And I think that would be a good kind of way for them to mend fences, you know, if Dave was to do something like that. Because this is really one that he could pull off. It's got that feel. It's classic Van Halen, you know. So, yeah, you know, so I'm good with it. Hopefully right. I can keep my head up.
Very good. Eric Senich.
Keep your head up. It's we're having fun here.
Yeah, Eric Senich, I'm going to assume you're Danish.
So why don't you go and sue Napster, you little Danish twat?
Right, you little Danish twat. You ranked this number 8. What the hell?
Yes.
8? Song,
8? What? Yeah, well, I was going to say the song about blue balls, but also after, because we give this list ahead of time, Corey flew from Saskatchewan here to Connecticut to kick me in the nuts, giving me black and blue balls.
That's right.
And I thought that was way, way out of line.
Worth it.
I loved this song when it first came out when I was a teenager, and now it's just kind of worn off on me. I don't know. It's still a great song, but you know, Eddie's creatively stretching out on this. It's great. I got it low on the list. I'm sorry, guys. Wow. Do you guys like the heavier version in concert too? Because it was always like a muscled up version in concert.
What was your number, Eric?
8.
You just said low
8.
On the list.
Oh. Yeah, sorry.
Eric was 8. Yeah.
8.
You broke my heart.
Yeah. Black and blue balls. I haven't been walking for the last week.
Scott Everett, though, you're not much better. You had it at number 6. Explain yourself.
I love puppies. I love this song. Sorry, but there's just other songs I love more. I love that the band are trying to do new things. I love Eddie's playing on this. Sammy's lyrics are good. I mean, it's just one of those things where I love other songs on this album more than I love this one. And much like Eric said, at the time it was out, one of my favorite songs, but now as time's passed, it's just, there's other songs that I appreciate more at these days.
It's really one of those things. It was, you know, the authorities said, you know, best leave it unsolved, really.
All right, so your comments we're just going to leave unsolved at this point. Josh had it at number 9. Oh, my God. Marvin Fernandez had it at number 9. Jeff Brewer points out, still sounds like Van Halen, a political blues, not so much. Good call. Scott Haskin says it has a very cool beat. I don't know. Scott Haskin, I tell you, that guy's an asshole.
That was just uncalled for.
Corey's just taking names tonight.
Unsolicited.
I don't need. Okay, I've polished off one bottle.
Oh, now the Chazatar is me.
I have this much
those
of a
goddamn bottle. Uriah Heep fans. Whoa, what was that?
Jeez.
Now what it's red cornrows.
Right.
Okay.
We got to keep going because I got a full 40 here to go, folks.
You said a Weird Al wig there or something.
You got a Colt 45.
That was the Brian May. That was the Brian May.
That's the Brian May. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Okay, it's time to play the second track.
All right.
Second best song in OU2, according to everybody. And by the way, I should go back to our poll, our listeners, like not necessarily the people like our patrons and our guests like Eric who get to come on the show and actually submit their official rankings. The people who actually voted on our Twitter polls had AA Political at number 10, Sucker in a 3-piece at number 9, Feel So Good number 8, Source of Infection number 7. They're really close to kind of how we're going here. AFU was number 6, Mine All Mine was number 5, When It's Love number 4, Finish What You Started number 3. And so now we're coming up on the number 2.
Damn, Black and Blue did really well, huh?
Black and Blue did really well. Now we only have 2 tracks left. What do you think is coming up next?
I'm saying Black and Blue. I'm going with Cowboys.
Going Black and Blue.
I hope so.
All
right,
feels
like it has to be, right?
So everyone is thinking Cabo Wabo was number 1.
I'm thinking that.
The very first
Black and Blue
person to call their shot on our show was Eric Senich on Cabo Wabo was number 1. Is that going to fit?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Let's find out what was number 2.
Here we go.
There it is.
There it is. Yep.
Black and Blue was number 2, 154 points. Again, Black and Blue, 154. Finish What You Started, 152. Mine All Mine, 150. So it was very, very close the entire way. But Black and Blue officially finishes second on our OU812 rankings at 154 points. Two people said this was the best track on OU812. One person said this was the ninth best track off of OU812. That one kind of shocks me. OU812, Black and Blue, number two. Let's start with Scott Everett. Where did you have this one ranked, Scott?
I had it number two. I got one ranked. Hey, so great song. It rocks. I still hold to was probably a dumb decision to put this as the first single off the album. I wish they would have opened with something else. The music, it just rocks. The lyrics are just blatantly stupid and sexual, but you overlook it with everything else going on with the song. So just, it's a fantastic song.
That chorus is so fucking great. Eric Sanich, explain yourself. You had this one ranked pretty damn low, actually. Seven.
Yeah, deceiving seven. Because there were so many other songs on this album that are so damn good. But Black and Blue, yeah, I kind of feel like maybe I should have put it up higher. But yeah, it's surprising it was the lead single, Scott, and it was a top 40 single. I'm not surprised it was number one on the rock charts, but number 34 on that one. Yeah, some interesting phrasing on this too. Really cool phrasing with Sammy and Ed and Al. Yeah, that's really cool.
That's so good.
I can't argue with it. It's a great song. I'm sorry, guys. Number seven. Yeah.
All right. Weird Elvatar. Black and Blue. Yeah. You had this one, number four.
Wow.
Alvatar.
There it is.
That's
the quote.
That's
of the
line
episode.
Of the night.
It took us 2 hours to get there. Yeah. But we got there.
We got there, though. We
That's
got
much
there.
Much earlier than normal, Eric.
Yeah. Glad to be of service. What did I put this one in at? Jeez. Black and
that
Blue.
Solo. Come on.
Where the hell?
You had this at four. Come on.
Yeah, the solo does kick ass.
Well, again, fuck? I mean, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other here. So break my balls all you want, but it's a fucking great song. Bottom line.
Yeah, that's a badass solo, man.
You went full Pesci with that statement.
Hey,
break my balls.
It is what it is. Breaking my fucking balls over here. What? Hey, I'm here to entertain you. What?
I've never met Chaz, but I assume he's 4'5" and he's like Joe Pesci.
Change my hair, you break my balls about my head.
This fucking guy over here.
Go get your fucking shine box, huh?
Look, yeah.
Hey, Heath McCoy's an Alberta thug. Heath McCoy, where did you have this one ranked, my friend?
Number three. And Eric, you said you had a deceiving number seven for this one. So for me, it's a deceiving number three because it's a total tug of war for me. I can't not love it because that dirty, lick, the groove. There's so much to love about it. But Sammy, the stupidest fuck, lunk-headed frat boy lyrics, I guess it's about rough sex, but it's vaguely creepy. It's hard for me to like it, but I can't not like it because it's super catchy, super great rock tune. This is another one I think Dave would have actually done better because he would have brought some cleverness to it that Sammy does the opposite of in this tune. But it's still, I can't not like it. It's a great song. It's catchy and just a wicked rock tune.
Yeah. I think Dave would have inserted like some kind of popsicle up Sammy's ass being towed by aliens.
This fucking kid
with the aliens.
Black and Blue. Ryan
Sammy's version of Dirty Movies.
Well, he's humming the theme to Close Encounters.
I'm not even going to acknowledge the avatar with the white wig now. Ryan Powell, you had this number seven.
That's my Joe Elliott haircut. This is the Joe Elliott.
That is right, Joe Elliott. Good call. Ryan Powell, number seven. Tell us about Black and Blue.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same for me. It's a deceptive seven. This was really close with a lot of the other ones. I really like this one. I think that Cabell is doing a lot of work in that breakdown. And it's just a really enjoyable song. If I was redoing the list today, might have put it a little bit higher. It just razor thin margins through all those. No, I'm not surprised that it's higher, but and I'm okay with that too. Just had to rank some of them higher.
Nope, fair enough. But Scott Monroe, smartest guy on the panel, ranked this number two, which is what I put it as well. So Scott, tell us about Black and Blue.
Number two, yeah. I mean, this is my favorite song, I think, about a water park. You know, slip and slide, wetter and better. It's about a water park. It's the attitude. It's the stink. It's the it's just can't get enough of it. The solo's great. Wish the solo was a little higher in the mix, of course. It's the harmony.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I have to look past the Sammy lyrics on this one and just enjoy the music. And it's all there is to it. It's some of the best music on the whole album.
Could not agree more. Michael Griffith, where did you have Black and Blue ranked?
Number two. Yeah, I love this song. It still sounds fresh. I mean, it sounds like it could have just been recorded. You know, it really holds up, and especially with the remasters. And I just love Ed's solo. I love how Mikey's just super mellow during Ed's solo. He's just going, he's on fire, and you know, Mikey's barely, you know, plucking the bass. And it would have been interesting if they made a video for this. You know, it was the first single. I don't know what kind of video they would have made, but it would have been, you know, it probably would have been a bigger hit if they made a video for it.
Kevin Brown.
I don't want to pick a fight.
We're going to have to pick a fight. You had this ranked number nine.
Yep. Yeah, not really a difficult decision for me to put this one at nine. I like the riff. The solo section is fantastic. I love the harmonies. And outside that, it's so repetitive. Like, it just doesn't, I don't think the song really ever gets anywhere. So I don't dislike it, and I would never skip it. It's definitely not in any of my playlists. And again, like, are these, you know, I know that Gene Simmons had early dealings with Van Halen. Is this a leftover Kiss lyric? Because it's fucking gross. It's horrible. I mean, I can get past it. I mean, we just did Don't Try Suicide on my Queen podcast, and they're not great lyrics either. They're bad lyrics, and I'm a Sammy defender, but I don't know. It just doesn't really move me melodically or structurally in the way that all the other songs on this album do. So,
all right,
try to put it bottom.
You're not a fan of Burn, Bitch, Burn by Gene?
I love the fireplace? Come on.
Right?
Forgot
the
about
classic
that song.
All Night. I mean, that's...
I think the bromance between Kevin and Eric is now broken up here. Michael Triplett, feel free to call Kevin a cocksucker. You had this one at number three. Go ahead, tell him why he's wrong.
I ain't calling anybody anything.
Okay.
Corey, but, instigating.
No, I mean, I think I was on the show for this track. I don't think I was a lurker. I think me and Mike were on the show on this one. It falls into, it's just a great sound. And if you throw Sammy's voice in there as an instrument and kind of throw out the lyrics, it's just a great sound for me. The solo really crushes it, but it's got a really good intro, ends well, and it's just a great sound. So again, if you're just numbingly listening to music and not listening to the lyrics or going too deep into the lyrics, getting outside the harmonies, it's a good one. It's a number three for me.
Yeah, when it comes to Sammy lyrics, not listening to them is a good idea. Mark Meyer, You had this one, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, number six for you. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this was that middle section that I talked about, which was surprisingly difficult in terms of ranking because they could have gone either way. I'm thinking Black and Blue probably should go just a little bit higher on my list, but not too much higher. Like this being the number two ranked of all seems a bit high to me, but you know, it's fine. I respect everyone's opinions on that. But for me, it couldn't go into the top three for sure. And it was very close to making it to as far as four. But six just seemed, at least in the time of my ranking, where it needed to go. But I guarantee you it changes tomorrow.
And put some stank on it.
Oh, it's got some stank on it, though. Absolutely. Marvin had it fifth. Be Cool or Be Podcast Out. Black and Blue is my favorite on the album, so they had it number one. Nicholas Norway says guitar slip and slide. Jeff Brewer, blatantly stupid lyrics. Sounds about right. Well, when you're talking about Sammy, sure, that fits. Love the part before the solo, and then the solo rocks. Absolutely. Josh, our good buddy at NAMM, says, love the solo, especially the end with the echo repeats, cathedral setting with those bends that I think get overlooked in Eddie's playing. Brad Mancan says, number two is number two. Great spot. Silver medal. Totally belongs. And Jeff Brewer says, if we throw out the lyrics, the song is great. The song is like a common theme. Well, that... that's number two. So that leaves us with one song left, ladies and gentlemen. It's a song that Eric Senich on our show, first time on our show, called his shot. The very first person to ever call their shot on the show. Wanted to hear some Cabo Wabo.
Calling his home run.
That's right. And he got it. Cabo Wabo finishes number one with 170 points. Kind of a runaway winner, actually. Almost 20 points ahead of number two. Eight people ranked this one as the best on the record, including the Bogus Otis Show. Matt Lacoste, again, couldn't be here tonight, ranked this one number one. A lot of people who are on the call also ranked this one number one. This is my number four. Love Cabo Wabo. One person ranked it ninth. That's going to be interesting to talk about.
What?
I know, right? But Cabo Wabo is the number one song on OU812, according to our listeners, and according to the Patreon and all the people on the call, also according to our listeners, out of all the songs on our Twitter poll, this one ranked 85% What Dreams Are Made Of, 14.9% The Dream Is Over. There was only four songs that cracked 80%. This one, Black and Blue, Finish What You Started, and When It's Love. So this was the winner on the Twitter poll. It was the winner on our official rankings here from our Patreons. Let's start with Mark Meyer. Cabo Wabo, you ranked number four.
Number four, and it kind of surprised me, but I guess for whatever reason, I was just really feeling Source of Infection that made it to that number three spot. Because I already knew what one and two were going to be for me, and that at this point we've revealed that it was going to be When It's Love and Finish What You Started. So I dig Cabo Wabo, and it seems like the majority digs Tequila. And, you know, you're not going to downvote Tequila, so why not? Let's celebrate the song that inspired it. No, this is a great track, man. It's I mentioned earlier about fun vibe rock, and the Cabo Wabo to me is a vibe. And, it holds a special place in my heart now because of our show and because the legendary Eric Senich be like calling his shot with the Cabo Wabo. It's like, yeah, look at that. Look at the magical manifestation powers he brought to the show. It's amazing. So that right away just sort of boosts it to the top. But, I mean, I dig it, man. It's just a very cool, chill Van Halen track.
No, I think he hit the nail on the head when he said it's a vibe.
Yes.
You can see yourself sitting on a beach with like a Corona or hopefully Summer. A real beer, like a Molson Canadian, listening to Cabo Wabo. I had it at four, but my 4, 3, 2, 1
Schlitz?
Are like really not a Schlitz. Fuck you. Real beer, motherfucker.
Schlitz.
Fucking Americans. This is number four for me, but the difference between one and four isn't huge. Like maybe a point between each one. I love Cabo Wabo. And I know Michael Triplett does too because you had this ranked number one.
Yeah, this is number one for me. This was a top 10 through my Spotify year end for the last 2 years. It gets played a lot. It's not by choice. Sometimes it's through the shuffle, but it's a great track. And I mean, I was listening to it right here, right now, and Cabo Wabo live is just that much better. But it just goes to prove that Van Halen sounds great in the studio, but once they're outside the studio to hear certain songs, 5150 live is great. Cabo Wabo is just absolutely amazing. So what band can take it to the next level? What band can say, what's the lyrics? I forgot the lyrics go to the chorus. All that fun stuff. So I love this track.
I tell you what, Kevin Brown, you have notoriously terrible taste. You choose to live in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. That proves that a broken clock is right twice a day. But you did pick Cabo Wabo number one.
Dude, you live in Weyburn.
That's that slightly is better.
Mole on the slightly better.
Not a lot. Slightly better.
It's worse than New Jersey. Don't you Fancy a comparison to Indiana? Is that what you're kind of saying?
People
in the U.S.
People
would Indiana be
females.
That armpit area?
Heath knows.
It's one of those perfect little slices of Van Halen light. Right, it's fun and fluffy, and I think, you know, Corey, you finished your Aerosmith mixtape. I think if you're going to make a mixtape and be completely representative of Van Halen, this has got to go on it. You're going to show people that they've got this kind of mode in them. And for me, it's the tempo that makes this song always. Like, any faster, any slower, this song loses its charm and it loses what makes it great, that swing. Great throwaway looks. I mean, talk about harmonies. Three guys are at the absolute peak vocally. And you get all through this album, but this song especially. And I was thinking, as you were playing the intro there, Corey, how about like if you had Billy Gibbons came out on stage for the intro there and started playing a little bit, and you could Billy Gibbons sing in that opening verse? Ooh, now that'd cut.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I love this song. Loved it from the first time I heard it. Still do. Never gets old.
Tell you what, Keith McCoy, you also ranked this number one.
Yeah, I love it. It's a, you know, basically it's a it's in at least most of the song. It's a remake of Make It Last, which is probably my favorite, which also was with Sammy, which is my favorite Montrose tune probably. But Van Halen takes it to the next level with the harmonies and everything and the chorus. Just an incredible riff, amazing groove. I love Alex's drumming on this album. It's great. I love Sammy's lyrics, Face Down in Cabo, Kissing the Ground. It's the fun, super fun song. And you know, Sammy turned this song into a damn empire. He turned it into a tequila empire and a destination empire. It's like, it's an epic tune. I can't say anything bad about this song.
Well, I think you call it, you said Alex's drumming on this record, fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, really, really a stand on this. Ryan Powell, though, man, Thief of Joy, number four? Really? Cabo Wabo, number four?
Yeah, no, I'd stand by number four. I think it's a great song. No question about it. There's a lot of great aspects to it. If anything, though, and I never connected to this song as much as a lot of other people did, which is understandable with the way I entered kind of backwards into OU812 to begin with. If anything, the one thing I would say kind of on the negative side is, to me, the almost 7 minutes in length doesn't feel like it's been earned. The back half seems to drag a little bit to me. Where it just feels like they got a little aimless, where they could have made it a little bit tighter and kind of I guess if I had to say something critical of it, it would be that. And I'm only saying something critical. I mean, this is number four on my list. It's still really high up. It's still my top five on the album. Yeah. Really great song and splitting hairs on all of those. But just to kind of justify why I don't see it as number one, would probably be something like that.
Well, I think Scott Monroe wants to beat the shit out of you. He had this one number one.
I would never do that to Ryan. Number one, it's a vibe. It foreshadowed really the entire ethos of Sammy, right? Of him and his flip-flops on the beach and so many songs that he would do later on solo records with the Wabos. The story that he's telling is fantastic, and the story behind it is great. As a package, Sammy is at the top of his game. The harmonies are great. The Let Me Take You Down part of the harmonies. Oh, love that. I can see what Ryan's saying. It is maybe a tad long in the latter section. But I never get sick of listening to it, and it just kind of takes you on a ride. It's my favorite by far on the album.
I gave Ryan a little grief for number four. I also put it at four. And I actually agree with Ryan too.
So did I.
Yeah, because I agree. Like, I'm going through a Metallica podcast right now, and you know they could have ended the song at a certain point, and they just let it kind of go. And that's kind of the same one with here, with this song here. Let's just go quickly to the YouTube chat. Josh says, "Tip of the hat to Make It Last." Anyone hear a little Make It Last influence on this one? How about Heavy Metal? Jeff Brew points out the main riff, kind of a little bit like heavy metal, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Maybe a tad.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't really hear it.
Yes. No, it's definitely. Yeah.
A little bit. Michael Griffin, though, you ranked this one number one on your list.
Number one. It's my favorite Sammy Van Hagar song. I love it. There's a lot of Led Zeppelin influences here.
Yes.
And no one's really said that, especially with Al. I mean, kind of emulating Bonzo a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the length comes, because Led Zeppelin's very epic and a lot of songs are very long. I think that's kind of the vibe they were going. And it's the best, I figure I said it, but this is the best marketing song probably of all time, right? It turned into an emperor. So, I love it. I love too. Last thing too, you know, right here, right now, who would think they would interlude this with You Really Got Me, and it works and it's great. So it's just a cool song. It's fantastic.
All right. Let's go to Chaz Mataz. You had this one number one as well.
Yeah, man. For me, this is not Van Halen light. Whoever said that before, I think it was the man from Saskatchewan, wherever he is up there. But no, I don't agree. I think this is the best of what this, you know, this band is all about. And I got to be honest. I mean, for me, dredges up memories of being down the shore, whether I was growing up in Jersey or, you know, if it was in New York, out on the island, being out, getting wasted in the dunes. I mean, this was the summer of 88, and this song just kicked ass. You know, it just had the whole vibe. I mean, it was everything you wanted in Van Halen. And honestly, guys, I mean, for me, this is top three of the best of the Sam Hagar era of Van Halen, for sure. And it comes in at number three on that list, but it's definitely up there. This is like, you know, that, I mean, you can't help. Once that earworm is in your head, come on, man. You're singing that all day or all night when you're there at the beach, just doing your thing. And yeah, I mean, we had this on the boombox. We were hanging out, drinking beers, summer nights, and leading into summer nights, you know, it was all good times, all good times. But this song kind of captured the best of the spirit of the bro era of Van Halen for these guys. Wish it would have lasted longer for them.
Eric Senich, this is just for you. You called your shot on this track. How many times do you think Van Halen played Cabo Wabo?
Well, not as nearly as much as the others. Fortunately, I wish they played it more. I'd say probably around like 70, 75.
75? Okay. All right, I'll give you one of these.
Bam! Just like that. That's all there is.
The correct answer is 56 times.
Six, yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that you ranked this one as low as you did. This is number three on your list. You called your shot with this one.
Yeah. Right. I know, it's funny because, and I certainly wouldn't argue with it being number one. You know, I could very easily have put it at number one. Yeah, great nod to it. It is, Eddie loved Montrose. And so Sammy did ask Eddie to come up with a riff. He called Eddie up. He said, "I got the lyrics. Come up with something that sounds like Make It Last." Right? Oh. Sounds like it. Mm-hmm. That's Make It Last. The harmonies are so good on this. It's a classic summer song, perfect summer song, great groove, phenomenal harmonies, and one of my all-time favorite Hagar era tunes. Wouldn't mind it being at number one at all.
Excellent. Scott Everett, where did you have this one, my friend?
I had it at number four. Love the song Summer Nights with the GPS, right? It's same song, putting a location to it. Great, great tune. Those of us that haven't been to Cabo probably feel like we've been to Cabo just by listening to the lyrics. I can't go anywhere where I'm at a beach without listening to this song.
great vibe. I know everyone's talked about the vibe. I'm probably rated it a little bit lower because I, in the back of my mind, I feel like Sam brought the business side of Cabo to the band, and he took advantage of the band, you know, the brothers getting involved from a business standpoint, and they didn't do so well, got out. And I think that kind of led some discomfort with the band that probably may have led to some of the breakup talk later on. So that's probably why I had it 4. So, but great tune. Great tune.
Well, I can't believe how little they played it live. 50, did you say 56?
For real. That's crazy. 56. Hey?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mind-boggling because it's made for live.
Well, I was just looking on setlist 42 times in 88, 8 times in 89, and 6 times in 92. So, really outside the tour off the back of the album.
It'd be nice to hear it on the Best of All Worlds tour.
Yeah.
Well, it sort of makes you think. I wonder if there's some merit to what Scott was saying right there about perhaps the song caused tension with the brothers because of it does make you wonder, seeing as how they only played it so many times, because maybe the brothers was just like, fuck this song.
Sore spot.
Sore spot.
I think that comes up in Sammy's book too, doesn't it? There's like a scene he describes where he's got his Cabo tattoo on, and Eddie comes up to him with his VH tattoo,
right,
and he says this will last longer
because the idea, or the, at least what Ed and Al thought, was that because Sammy bought out Ed and Al's piece of the Cabo bar, and then as soon as he took over, it took off, and they were like, oh, isn't that interesting? What a coincidence.
Right.
You know?
They said in the 04 tour to Sam, hey, you can't sell any Cabo Wabo anything. Right. During our tour.
Right. Yeah, he had the tattoo here, and he would roll a sleeve up, and Eddie would just, you know.
Yeah.
I think Sammy ended up getting another tattoo lower on the arm or something, just sort of. I think. I can't recall. But.
Fucking boys, eh? Who'd have them?
Boys and musicians and their egos, especially
pretty petty shit.
Especially of people like Van Halen, who were of a certain level at the time. So egos be flaring, egos be just running wild.
Even the fact that we know these stories, I didn't really need to know that story. I mean, I know,
Chaz has an 18th century UK judge.
I was literally just going to type that in the chat.
Yes.
Don't you have Brian a barber May. This who's is like Brian May look. Judge Turpin?
Brian May.
This is my Brian May official endorsed way.
Wow. Get him,
you
Kevin.
Little
go get
shit!
Him.
You're in it now. I hope they throw away the key.
That's right. That's what you tune in for.
David, smell the glove is here. Hello, Janine.
Smell the glove is here. Anyone remember what the first song from OU812 was that we spun on the wheel?
The first one that we spun?
Was it Cabo? No, there was something before.
Was it Cabo? No.
It wasn't Cabo, but it was Cabo was an early one because we got Eric early on the show. So
Cabo Wabo was episode 25 with Eric Senich. We did one 5 episodes before that.
Was it AFU?
It was. Good memory. Aha. Good job, Mark.
Oh wow.
AFU was the first one.
Yeah, you guys got what 16 left? You said
15 left,
Mark.
Yeah,
15.
Yeah, man. Yep.
That's nuts.
15 left, you guys, and then, you know.
There's going to be a lot of these, right? Because you must be ending a bunch of albums.
This is only true. This is the third live show we've done on an album wrap-up. So, yeah, we got a few more to go.
Yeah.
And there could be a jump the shark moment. I mean, what's going to happen at the end? Are you going to try to keep the ratings up? Do something crazy?
I tell you, it. I think it warrants an article on the Van Halen News Desk
if we finish it.
It could.
If Corey does like the Fonzie thing and jumps over sharks.
I've been known to do that, I tell you.
Just jumping sharks over there. That's what they do in Canada.
I tell
fun.
You, I got more Playwood, Montana come and go stories I can tell.
Fucking...
Oh man.
Oh Lord. What should we do, Norbert? Should we wrap
it up? You got Dave solo, Sammy solo, you got a mammoth.
Well, and that's what we're talking. Maybe we'll do like a Dave wheel the first of the month, a Sammy wheel the second week of the month, Van Halen or a mammoth slash extreme wheel the third week of the month, and maybe the fourth week would be a patron. You know, patrons could just throw whatever they want on a wheel and we'll talk about
it. Count me in for the Your Filthy Little Mouth album wrap-up show.
It'll be good, some good stuff. We're not talking about Dave tonight, though, because he released some very upsetting videos, and we're talking about Sammy. The Best of All Worlds tour coming. Eric, I'm assuming you're going. I'm going to the Toronto show with the Bow hosts on July 31st. What date are you checking out?
Yeah, I'm going to hit the one in Connecticut, which is where it's in
June. Oh, are they coming to Denver?
I imagine they got to be coming close to Denver,
I'm looking at shit.
Yeah, they are. Want to say, like, July.
Who has tickets? I know I have my tickets already. Anybody else? Scott Monroe does. Michael has.
I'm going to Mansfield, Mass on the July 26th.
Ooh, Red Rocks. Oh, cool. He's playing Red Rocks.
26th. Yeah, two nights before that, July 24th is Connecticut.
Nice. Mark, you got your Nashville tickets yet?
Not yet. The ticket holders over here are really see you next Tuesday. So, you know, we're still waiting out on that one, but we are definitely going to go.
Kevin Brown's like, oh, I don't have enough money. I can't go.
Yeah, I'm not rich like you. I don't have Weyburn money. I got fucking Saskatoon.
Look at your palatial mansion in Saskatoon. It's the second most expensive city to live in North America, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh, it's New York, Saskatoon. It's just mad because I have a moat. I don't know. Like, I thought everyone
I want a moat. Is that too much to ask? Of course, the way things are melting around here, I don't know about Saskatoon. It was +2 here today. I have a moat because all the snow melted. So everything's underwater right now.
Same.
You guys got Wolfie coming your way? He's coming to Connecticut March 5th. I got to go see him at a place called Toad's Place in New Haven, which is a little club.
Oh, yeah. Toad's Place.
Oh, yeah, man. Excellent.
Wolfie Rolling hates Stones Canada. Played a surprise show there in 89.
Hell yeah. Keith's a local.
Yep.
Why do we have fucking Chazatar with like an English barrister wig on now?
That's what I'm saying. You notice Judge Turpin join the chat?
This is my officially endorsed Brian May wig.
But he says we have it's a rockin' podcast. We're talking great music. We got Johann Sebastian Bach over there, you know, coming back from the dead to celebrate his modern love of Van Halen. It's crazy. Who'd have thought?
But the head's not bobbing down anymore. I think it's he's been doing some neck strengthening exercises.
You all tune in to the podcast for the Van Halen talk, and then you stay for the necromancy. That's what it's here for.
He may want to add a beard to it. It's starting to kind of look femaleish at this point.
Little bit. Yeah, good call.
Get out of here.
A little bit.
I kind of want to fuck
got a little bit of a B. Arthur look.
Oh boy!
I was attracted to it until you said B. Arthur, and now my
the ghost
is
of
gone
Bach and B. Arthur rolled into one somehow.
I have a feeling Paul and Gina watching this saying, "Yes, this is how we want the Avatar."
What the fuck are Paul and Gina thinking with the Avatar?
Couldn't put it past them at this point.
Somebody get Chaz on the line.
This is where their $200 million will go right into
2027. Everyone's gonna rush out to watch.
Carrot top.
Fucking pink-haired Carrot Top on the Avatar singing fucking Got to Choose. Like, no one is going to go see that.
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, it's green now. There we go.
There he is.
Yeah, man.
Do you think the YouTube video views are going to go through the roof on this one? Everyone's going to tune in to see what we're all talking about.
Oh, 100%.
This is an innovation in podcasting. Come on, man. It's a first.
It's got to be published.
We've done the whole show is the fucking Avatar.
Chaz could have waited. You guys could have had your very last show at Madison Square Garden, like Kiss did, and then at the end.
That's a good idea. We should do our very last show because it's going to be Josephina. Chaz.
Yeah, but and it's with the rush background, I don't think Getty or Alex would like that.
God gave rock and roll to you.
Bring in the Avatars.
Did anyone spring for the pay per view on Kiss's final show?
I did. Video. Let's get rocked.
Do you want to get rocked?
Oh, Kevin loves Def Leppard.
Let's not talk about those.
Kevin loves Def Leppard.
Evan's band.
Well, that'll be for another show. But this show, we have ranked and we have discussed OU812 from the Sammy Hagar era. And look, we say what you want about Sammy Hagar era in general, but look, this album is good. This is a very fantastic album. There was a lot of good things, a lot of good words. I at no point did I hear anyone say any of the songs were fucking stupid. There may have been aspects of the songs you guys felt were fucking stupid, and that's fine. But overall, I don't think we can say that this is a terrible Van Halen album. Am I right when I say that? It's just, it belongs in a respectable position, I would say. But that's good, though. It's good that we can have varying opinions here, and then we can all come together and agree. It's like, but it's still Van Halen. We still find aspects of it that we can enjoy and appreciate and celebrate and rock out to always. And that's the purpose of the show, and that's the purpose of Van Halen. So, Corey, we did it, man. Another live show in the books. We've got several more. And then not to mention, we're not done with the wheel quite yet, but we are dwindling down. And I want to take a moment to appreciate all of you guys joining us on the panel, our friends, our patrons, our confidants, our just fellow fans. How about that? Not rock historians, not experts, except for that one over there in the hat. We're all fans. Yeah, that one. All fans and just appreciators of this wonderful band of Van Halen. Always a pleasure. So, hey, what do you say? Go down the line, and I'll start with the Avatar extraordinaire himself, old Chaz Mataz. Tell the people where they can find you, what you got going on, dude.
Oh, man, the Chazatar. You can come check us out on Rush Rash every Saturday. Weekly episodes talking about the band Rush in the same feature and formats of your favorite Van Halen podcast. So everything we do, we've stolen from you, of course. So we've also got Regarding Roger, which we're dissecting, as you heard before, Roger Waters, Dark Side of the Moon Redux versus the original. Oh my God. So that's every other week. That drops on Mondays. We're in the seventh or eighth episode coming up here soon here. So check us out wherever you get podcasts. And you'll be sure to check out Regarding Roger or Regarding Series next season, season 3, with Scott Monroe right over there. What are we doing, Scott?
Regarding Van Halen 3.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Coming your way.
Right on. Well, since we're on him right there, Scott Monroe, tell the people a little bit more and where they can find you if they want to hit you up.
Yeah, for sure. And hit us up on our Regarding Van Halen 3 socials. We got Regarding VH3 on Twitter X and Regarding Van Halen 3 on Facebook. We'll be lighting that up in the spring once we get going here. And we still got a few more episodes, guys, that we have not yet booked special guests for. So if you're interested in being a special guest on one of our Van Halen 3 episodes, reach out to me and let me know.
I'm on bold one. People. I can't wait. I can't wait.
It's a bold topic and a bold album to go into, and I commend you for doing that. So best of luck. I can't wait to listen to it. Let's see, going over there, Heath McCoy, man, always a pleasure having you on these live shows with your sometimes hot take, sometimes not so hot, but always a take in general. Where can the people find you, and what do you got going on, dude?
Twitter Van Heathen. Vince McMahon is in the news right now. He's
boy, is he ever?
Oh, yeah.
He's a slimy, slimy man.
Whoa, wait a minute. What have I missed?
Oh my goodness. And, yes, big so news with Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he's my book, Pain and Passion, The History of Stampede Wrestling. Vince McMahon's in there. He's had some rather shady dealings with the Hart family over the years in several instances, and and shady dealings with pretty much everybody he's ever dealt with, I think. But anyway, wow.
I know he got in trouble last year for some Me Too movement stuff.
He's in more trouble now.
Oh, wow. Dude, he's more trouble. You should read the charges.
He's in the doo-doo. He's in the doo-doo.
Read the charges. Yeah. It's insane.
I just saw the video of Hogan's son getting a DUI and in November, and Hogan shows up, and he's like, what did he do now? It's like the body cam footage,
Yeah.
But
interesting.
Yeah,
Vince.
Definitely check that out. And yeah, check out what Heath's got going on, because you know he's going to talk about fantastic wrestling in a positive book. Light, not the negative. That seems
everybody
to be
should go get
him.
Pain and
no,
Passion. I've read that book twice now. I love that book because I'm a big Stampede wrestling guy. Heath McCoy, one of the best wrestling experts out there. A fantastic book. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, just a fan of great books, Pain and Passion. Fantastic book. You guys are going to love it.
Cool.
Absolutely. And speaking of passion, there's who better to bring about the passion of Van Halen than Ryan Powell himself, man. Ryan, thank you so much for being on here, man. It's always great hearing from you and hearing your perspectives on the bands and the songs and everything. And please let us know where we can find you and what you got going on, man.
Oh man, you don't need to find me anywhere. You'll see me in the lurker. find me on this podcast from time to time, and we'll go from there. Yeah, no, it's always fun to chat about Van Halen and to chat about why people are wrong about not liking some of the Van Halen songs. So I'll always be there to defend.
God bless you, Ryan. We love you. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. And it's going to sound familiar because if you heard our recent podcast episode, then you'll have heard this man as one of our fellow panelists who's on there regularly, Michael Griffith, man. Always a pleasure, dude. I know you were excited about this one. We were all excited. So once again, let the people know where they can find you, what you got going on.
Just, you know, at Mike S. Griffith on X or Instagram and just talk about Van Halen. That's my favorite thing to do. So appreciate you guys doing this. So
we appreciate you. It's because of guys like you that keep this thing going, because we Corey and I were remarking, I can't believe we've lasted this long that it's still going. You know, it's humbling, and we owe it all to all of you, including people like Scott Everett. Scott, man, it's always fun having you on the show as well. Where can the people find you, or what do you got going on?
Appreciate it, boys. And again, thanks for keeping the music alive. I'm on X at J Scott Everett. Actually, inspired by y'all and Mr. Sinich, I have a new podcast, Rewind to 1984, where I'm comparing Billboard charts of today versus 1984, the 40th anniversary of my favorite favorite year of music. So if anyone wants to go out and give that a check out, but thank y'all for everything you do. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's
excellent.
Awesome.
Can't wait to check out that show. That's fantastic.
Yeah, the name, Scott? What's the name of the podcast?
Rewind to 1984. So
cool. That's awesome. A great year. Great year. A lot of good albums came out that year.
All right.
Yeah, just compare the Billboard charts, the top 10 of today, which is all crap, and what my kids like versus
nice.
1984. So yeah.
All right.
Having fun with it. Trying to learn, not anywhere near the level of you guys, but we're getting there.
I'm sure it's
always
awesome.
A learning experience, man.
Adding it to my list.
Yeah. So, Michael Triplett, dude, always, you've been a very, very, fun addition to the show, and, we appreciate your perspectives on things. What do you got going on? Where can the people find you?
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on the show. Love being a Patreon on the show. Love Van Halen. The fact that Van Halen News Desk is how I found my way to you guys is just awesome. I've known about that website for ever. Whoever previously owned it, sold it, you guys picked it up. So it's just awesome. So love music.
Thanks,
no social media whatsoever. So nothing to promote. but the inspiration of thinking about doing a podcast one of these days, or a YouTube podcast with some buddies, maybe. We'll see what happens.
You totally should. And you should do a wheel, because no one else does wheels. Right, Kevin? Right, Chaz? No one does wheels.
Shut up.
Everyone needs
maybe like a 19th hole golf related music themed craziness.
I'll be the first one to listen.
Music talk from the 19th hole. There you go. Yeah. I will throw this out to Scott. I will say I'm blessed with kids that I've got one. I'm not into Sleep Token, but I don't like the sound of them. But musically,
how dare you?
They're amazing. But I got to say, my kids are listening to Pink Floyd. They're listening to Led Zeppelin. They're listening to Van Halen. But they're also listening to some new stuff, too. But nothing down that pop chart stuff, which is nice.
That's parenting done right.
Yeah, no. If you can get your kids listening of the old stuff, that's great. My kids know Van Halen since the day they were born and all that good stuff, but you look at the Billboard
top 10 right now and try and listen to it. I research it, listen to those songs of the top 10 of what's going on. And yeah, it'll make you want to hit your head on the wall. So not great.
I think I said this before. I don't think anybody here remembers what was Blockbuster Music way back in the day. I ran a concept music store here where I live, circa 94 to 96. And you look at the music and I'm like, okay, I saw the music coming through and all the transition. And I'm like, if I don't really relate to what's going on in music, then I'm going to be old. And all of a sudden it's like, what is this? So it's not that it's, I got old. It turned into garbage, in my opinion. Let's just go with it turned into
garbage.
There's
no rock and roll in the top 40.
There's no guitar. There's no guitar in the top 40, except in the country.
Fake guitar. It's
right.
Fake.
Lots of auto tune. Lots of auto tune.
All audio tune.
It's really scary.
Yeah. Give them a copy of 2112. Just find somebody who needs to hear real music.
2112. That's just amazing. That whole album is sick.
There you go.
Don't encourage
you can't
him.
Make you can't make 2112 like an intro album for people though. Like they have to be warned. They have to right. They have to warm up to that one, you know what I mean? That's so true. But good stuff.
Oh, and, for so many people it's the gateway. Fair enough,
but it requires some deep listening, and that's okay. That's all good stuff. Well, we're happy, Michael, that the Van Halen News Desk brought you to us. And speaking of the Van Halen News Desk, Eric Sinich has joined us again on the show, man. And we knew we couldn't do a live show without you here, man, with your perspective. And you are our resident Van Halen expert, because we certainly are not. So we need people like you on the show to help give us, you know, a little bit of merit.
So often been told to you guys, right? Yeah, I always love being on, man. This is so cool. And OU812 is my favorite Sammy album. So I was so happy to be here. And VHND.com. And or as Corey, I love the way Corey does a triple W, VHND.com. We've been so busy with stuff, putting stuff up on the news desk. And today, of course, with Eddie's birthday, that's, you know, just huge that we're all here today on his, what would be his 69th. He'd be 69 today. So VHND.com. And then, of course, Booked on Rock. If you guys want to reach me, the best thing to do is just go to BookedOnRock.com. All the social media links are there. And, you know, give it, if you haven't listened to it before, if you love classic rock and you love classic rock stories, you know, these authors that I have on are just phenomenal. I had actually Tom Werman, the producer, Cheap Trick, Motley Crue, Poison. Mm-hmm. He's been on recently. The Untold Story of Beatles roadie Mal Evans was fascinating. But here's one I loved. If you guys are fans of Kiss, The Extraordinary Rise of Kiss Drummer Eric Carr. There's a book out on, it's going to be, I think, a 3-volume series. The first one on from 1950 to 82. And the woman who wrote this book did an amazing job. Janet Simmons broke down like the contract that he signed, the auditions that he got, you know, to get the gig with Kiss. The most recent one, Van Halen, it's a book about, as five kids. They were on 12, 13 years old in 1984, and they got to see Van Halen in Cincinnati on March 9th of 1984, only because one of the kids' dads was a police officer who worked the night before, got to meet the band members and said, okay, my kid can go see them. And then one of their little league coach was their chaperone, so he took them to the concert. It's a great story. So that episode just went up. That's episode 176, and Booked on Rock is pretty much everywhere. We got a YouTube channel too. We put up videos, which have been doing really well. So that's it.
Eric, may I say it's a great show. I've been listening to it. Nice. I haven't heard the Van Halen Kid episode you talk about.
Oh, you'll love it.
The other three episodes you talked about, I listened to all three of them. They're great. It's a good
Thanks.
Show.
Real yeah, good. We had oh my god, the one with Frank Meyer.
Great, so that good. One? That was an amazing interview.
Frank is so great. He was hanging with Roth at his mansion and all that stuff. And every time Roth would see him, he'd say, "Frank Meyer." And so Frank emails me one day, and he's like, "I'm in Spain with my band," and he goes, "I swear to God, after the show, somebody comes walking up to me and go, Frank Meyer."
That's
well, hey, shameless plug. We're going to have Eric in on Rush Rash in a couple weeks too. So
I'm on. There you go.
And next week we're going to.
How bad is your Rush Rash? Right. Is it all encompassing? How big of a Rush fan are you?
Me? Oh, I love Rush.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm thinking, Chaz? We should probably talk about Getty's book. You know?
Yeah, man.
That would be cool. But oh my God, I love freaking love Rush. So
excellent.
I can talk Rush.
Time.
Yeah.
Eric, did you book 2 days off work?
Am I gonna need it? 3 hours. It's a marathon. It's a fucking 3 hour episode with him. Yeah.
Oh, did you do 3 hours, Kevin?
We were close.
Right. That's just a start.
Yeah.
3 hours before
he was on wheel. Just on Vapor Trail.
It's the 2112 of podcasts.
Oh yeah.
My God, I had to take the week off of work when I was on his show because it was like 4 days.
Oh boy, so I'm in.
I'll help you use up that bank of days. Oh yeah.
So I'm really in for it when I finally show up on the show.
Mark's tell you what, in. Great show though. Great time. You'll have a blast.
Oh yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
That's cool.
And to round us all out, our fellow extended family, I'll call him Kevin Brown, the extraordinary Kevin Brown.
Man, the myth.
The one and only. So there you go, man. Like, thank you so much for being on here. It wouldn't have felt right. It doesn't feel right when you're not on these live shows, Kev. Like, that's how
much I've lost my lucky charms.
That's Irish.
Kevin, we gotta do a Petty episode together too. I've had you on mine, but we're gonna
Kevin
do
hates Tom Petty.
Yeah,
we were talking about that.
Yeah,
he's you're the
they don't have guests over there. No, they've got their format. Yeah.
Now. Now that Corey's dwindling down his podcasting universe, you are the busiest podcaster in
the
space.
Well, I don't know. Chaz is the busiest.
Chaz is going pretty hard.
Yeah.
So then you're the second. So please let the people know where they can find you and everything you got going on, dude.
Well, I'm being subjected to Metallica, as Corey said, on the Ultimate Catalog Clash, and it's going better than I thought. I found some stuff I like.
Yeah.
I also co-host the Seaside Pod Review, which is the innovative podcast that spins a wheel and picks a random song to talk about each week about Queen.
So original.
And I do that with my pal Corey Woods, who is not... Corey Woods? Yeah, I've done it again. There you go.
Oh, I'm going to tell Randy you did that.
Randy Woods.
It's like when you make love to your wife and you call out Randy's name. Now you're doing a podcast. You're calling out my name. Oh my God.
Yeah, but I'm English, so I can get away with shouting Randy.
Fucking Liverpudlian.
He's from.
I'm Randy, baby. And then I host the Tom Petty Project. But I would say, just to anyone listening who isn't a Patreon yet, go join the Patreon. The Discord server is so much fun. Like, it's good hanging out in there. Everyone on the call here pretty much hangs out there all the time. And just a quick little story about the top 10 you was talking about there, Scott. So I go playing pool once a week with my youngest daughter, who now has her own queue, and we take over the jukebox because the music there is absolute dog shit. And tonight, before she was doing some other stuff, and I had to wait for her to get to do the jukebox, and the top 10, I didn't hear a single song that had more than two chords. They call it rapping, but to me it just sounds like an old woman mumbling in the care home. It's just horrendous. Yeah. So it's terrible. Loaded up the jukebox, and when I got to the jukebox, there was like 38 credits still left in there. So I put my $10 that I usually put in and just left Van Halen playing. It was literally, I put on 1984, Fair Warning, great. Fuck, and...
Oh, that's so great.
Van Halen 1, in order, front to back, and we left, and they're still listening to Van Halen now, I assume.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, man.
No regrets.
Nice. I want to be there when Spanked is on.
Compared to this week in 1984, owner of the Lonely Heart from Yes is number one, and Mark's favorite lyric, Jump, is moved from 34 to 20 this week. So moving up the charts quite quickly with its cheesy lyrics, is still moving up the charts.
That was a great year, though, 84.
Hey, they're not amazing. Cheesy lyrics, but anyway. Yeah.
Thank you.
Attaboy, Heath.
I didn't say they were cheesy. I said they were nonsensical, and that's very... If you make them nonsensical and catchy, then it don't matter. Like, people will come, they will dance, they will have a good time. And, you know, if there's nothing else to take away from listening to Van Halen, it's this. You're here to have a good time while you're listening to it. So, lyrics be damned. Am I right? As long as the vibe is in check, everything is great. I think the vibe was in check for this show. That's what I think. And thank you to the chat, the people in the chat, the lurkers, and everyone just giving in all of your rankings and being part of this journey. And like I said, we're not quite done yet, so we've still got some time to go. There will be more live shows coming up rather quickly because we have several albums that we are just nearly done with, and we'll get back to doing these live shows before you know it. So until that time, on behalf of the whole panel, on behalf of Corey, Corey, you got anything else you want to add?
Just that I had a hell of a lot of fun. I love OU812. I really enjoy everybody, most everybody on this call. A couple of people more than others. I won't say who. But I'm really looking forward to you know, finishing off the catalog. 15 songs left on the wheel. We have a few more, like 8 or 9 more live shows to go. We're breaking down the catalog. I'm down to 2 podcasts, so I'm really kind of sad that we're coming to the end of the Van Halen catalog, but I'm looking forward to what we have in store for the future, and hopefully we can get guys like Eric Senich, who just killing it, like, on podcast. His Ted Elms, We Can't Live Without, great fucking show.
Oh, yes. And I was votes in, Kevin.
I can't do it. 10 albums, I can't live without. I can't just limit it to 10.
Yeah, Greg Prado, my guest, he cheated. Yeah, it's hard to narrow it down to 10.
Such a great show.
But I put 1984 in there. That was my...
Oh, it's got to be on there. And Chaz killing it on all 48 of his podcasts. He's now completely past me. It's now the Chaz Charles podcast universe. I've only got 2. He's got at least 8, 6 of which are worth listening to. But everybody on this call has been absolutely fantastic to us. And I thank you very much. And 15 songs, and then we're done. Mark Kammeyer, man, a little melancholy, but looking forward to getting to the end of this thing, too.
It's true. It's I anticipate a celebratory victory lap. That's what this is going to be. And one last thing, you guys, once again, www.podcastwillrock.com to find our backlog episodes and links to our merch store. Our very own Kevin Brown is very generously contributed so many of those designs. Go get your Apologies to Gary shirts. I want the army to grow. I hear it's been growing, and so thank you. I love that when a plan comes together. So on that note, thank you all for joining us. Thank you for listening. Keep on listening. Keep on rocking. We are all, and the podcast will rock. And we will rock you later.
The mamas, bonus moms, office moms, moms of moms. This Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given us so much. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all your amazing moms with handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts. Ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.